The following episode of Shiny Objects originally aired on KGVM Bozeman on Monday, June 29th, 2026 at 2 p.m.
This is KGVM Bozeman, 95.9 FM and streaming on the web at kgvm.org. I'm your host, Todd Mason, and this is Shiny Objects, new music for old listeners. If you find yourself stuck in that classic rock rut, then join me most Monday afternoons from 1 to 3 as we cover some great new rock music from the 2020s. So stick around, turn it up, and enjoy.
This is Human Capital, news and features of Montana government. I'm J.P. Pomnikowski. Human Capital is a feature on Gallatin Valley Community Radio, KGVM Bozeman at 95.9 FM and everywhere via streaming at kgvm.org. Some Montanans are taking data center regulation into their own hands. Grassroots petitions for initiatives in Butte, Silverbow County, and Yellowstone County aimed at curbing data center growth in Montana could make their way to ballots in November. As an artificial intelligence race takes hold around the globe, data centers that fuel the speed and efficacy of AI systems are sprouting up in communities across the country and drawing fierce opposition from locals. In Montana, where the state offers little in the way of oversight, citizen-led initiatives in Butte, Silverbow, and Yellowstone counties are forging a potentially new regulatory path, a grassroots approach that, if successful, would put the power to approve new or expanded data centers in the hands of voters. When a proposed data center began sparking council meetings in Butte last January, real estate broker Denise Kelly was getting frustrated. She'd never been involved in politics, but she worried about the impact that Washington-based Sabey Corporation's massive complex could have on her community, especially when it comes to water use and electricity rates. "I think the majority of people in this country, not just Butte, don't want data centers," Kelly said. "But I don't know why the government, especially our local governments, aren't listening to us. I don't know why they're selling out their towns." In February, furious at what she saw as a one-sided push to get a data center on the ground, Kelly decided to take control. She started the nonprofit 406 People First, talked with local advocates, and met with a lawyer to eventually draft language that, after gathering enough supportive signatures, could eventually make its way onto Butte Silverbow ballots and, for the first time, give community members a voice in checking data centers. Kelly is now in the signature-gathering phase of the effort, and she's not alone. A similar initiative is in the works in Yellowstone County. Taken together, the from-the-ground-up petitions could upend the future of major data centers in Montana. Kelly said, "Butte has a long history of citizens asserting their collective power against corporations and government. We can do it again and make sure development happens on our terms." The model of the petitions in both Butte Silverbow and Yellowstone counties are identical. Citizen-led petitions need to gather signatures from 15% of registered voters. That means 3,600 people in Butte Silverbow and 16,500 signatures in Yellowstone County. If organizers pass those hurdles, voters will have a voice in November. Ballot language would say that the counties may not approve construction or expansion of any data center without a special election in which two-thirds of voters approve. Three major data centers so far are in the works in Montana, near Missoula, Butte, and Broadview, just outside of Billings. Washington-based Sabey Corporation pulled out of their agreement in Butte in May, but the company is still exploring other sites in southwest Montana, including in Silverbow County. The largest proposed data center of all is in Broadview, north of Billings. Houston-based Quantica calls it its Big Sky Digital Infrastructure Campus, which would cover 5,000 acres and require more than 1,100 megawatts of power generation. Last month, the company asked Northwestern Energy for 7,235 megawatts of maximum additional capacity. That energy draw would dwarf the entirety of demand across the rest of Montana. Cassie Solberg, a Broadview-based homesteading mother of six, says she's tried everything to thwart Quantica's data center. She showed up to all the meetings, proposed a special zoning ordinance, and circulated a petition focused on accountability. But still, Solberg felt her voice wasn't getting heard by local officials. "I've tried everything," she said. With nowhere else to turn, Solberg spearheaded the Yellowstone County ballot initiative. It functions almost identically to the Butte Silverbow petition. If enough voters sign by the August 12th deadline, ballot language will appear in November that, if passed, would mean voters must approve any new or expanded data center. No matter what happens with the petition and in November, Solberg described her efforts as a blueprint that other communities could follow if similar data center proposals sprout in their own backyards. This is J.P. Pomnikowski for Human Capital on KGVM 95.9 FM and online at kgvm.org. All past episodes of Human Capital are available online anytime at kgvm.org.
voice gives out. Even after all these years, but I want my son to know me now, so my son will see my tears. My son will see my tears.
Same old shit every weekend. Everybody's looking the part. I bet most of these boots have probably never seen any dirt. And the ground ain't any softer if you're wearing a rhinestone shirt. Oh, everybody wants to be a cowgirl till it's 5 in the morning and it's cold as hell and the work ain't gonna do itself. Everybody wants to be cowboy these days until it's time to stay. Until it's time to stay. Everybody wants the freedom, miles and miles of space, moving on to the next thing when the wind. You know that ain't gonna cut it. It's gonna take a lot of heart. You're gonna have to duct tape it back together when it falls apart. Oh, everybody wants to be a cowgirl till it's 5 in the morning and it's cold as hell and the work ain't gonna do itself. Everybody wants to be a cowgirl.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. From Colorado to Mexico, the Rio Grande and its tributaries provide drinking water for millions of people, irrigate vast areas of farmland, and provide habitat for native cutthroat trout. So the water is in high demand, and strains on the river system are growing. As the climate warms, droughts are becoming more intense, and mountain snowpack, which melts into the streams that feed the Rio Grande, is declining. To make sure there will be enough water for farmers in the spring and summer, water is held back during the winter in upstream reservoirs. That reduces the water flowing through streams and rivers in winter months.
That's clearly a threat to the trout populations that exist in these rivers.
Kevin Terry is with Trout Unlimited. His group works with farmers, water districts, and others to arrange releases from upstream reservoirs during the winter when possible.
To keep the ecosystems healthy and keep fish as healthy as possible, while at the same time delivering water supplies to downstream communities for other benefits, including augmentation of well depletions, supplies for livestock.
He says as water becomes scarcer in the region, it's critical that people work together to make the best use of every drop. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Me roll my eyes when we go out dancing, but just as friends, right? Then you whisper in my ear after one or two. Swear I'm not trying to get up but thinking about you, and your hands on my body says I want to, and you know I don't want to complicate it, but in my head we're in the back of the room. Swear I'm not trying to get up but thinking about.
about anything but looking out for calls. You got cigarette burns in the same side of our hands. We ain't friends, we're just morons. We broke skin in the same spot. But I've never seen you take a turn that wide. And I'm high enough to still care if I die. So I tried to breathe the thought that you'd worked overtime to stop. You sit back off and I said nothing for a while. Your soul, what he might do with it.
Thanks for joining us on Shiny Objects. It's Monday, the 29th of June, 2026. In that first half hour today, we heard Home from Sarah Bareilles' upcoming album. We heard Everybody Wants to Be a Cowboy from Casey Musgraves. River Shook did Lost Without Your Love. Stella Lefty did Thinking About You. We got Riptides from Death Cab for Cutie. We heard The Great Divide from Noah Kahan. And we'll just send a thanks out to Larry Kiff for his monthly classic country music show. Always a pleasure to hear from him. So stay tuned for more Shiny Objects coming your way after these messages.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1937. That was the day SWAC leader Philip Murray beat back reports that the Little Steel Strike had collapsed. Even as the steel companies were championing that the strike had been broken, Murray insisted that of the 90,000 workers involved, only 20,000 had returned to work in the mills that stretched across seven states. He added they were mostly supervisors and foremen and not production workers. Murray leveled charges against Ohio Governor Martin Davey that the Ohio National Guard was being used as company police to smash the strike. Strike leaders added that the companies were staging dummy back-to-work parades. In fact, Labor Secretary Perkins had announced that it was the government's effort at mediation that had collapsed. But the steel magnates were on the offensive and had the backing of local politicians and police. George Mike, a union man and disabled veteran, was the latest casualty in the anti-labor war. He was killed the day before at Maltrup Steel in Beaver Falls, Ohio, as picketers clashed with deputy sheriffs. In Indiana, police rushed to plant gates at Inland Steel to guard against new battles as 20,000 strikers prepared for the imminent forced reopenings of Inland Steel and Youngstown Sheet and Tube there. Both mills remained closed for weeks. In Warren, Ohio, police issued a warrant for CIO strike leader Gus Hall and two other strike leaders on charges that he was the brains behind a terrorist plot to blow up strike-bound steel mills. And at Bethlehem's Cambria Works in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, two separate dynamitings destroyed main water supplies, causing an immediate end to an attempted back-to-work movement there. The strike was far from over. Labor History in Two brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
KGVM thanks Pine Creek Lodge for their support. Pine Creek Lodge in the Paradise Valley is a unique live music venue featuring shows under the stars and among the pines. Pine Creek's back window features food truck style dining options, and they sell domestic and local beers and wines. The following shows are coming up at Pine Creek: The Wallflowers with Early James on Wednesday, July 1st, Cruz Contreras and the Black Lilies with the Two Tracks on Thursday the 2nd, The Fossils on Friday, July 3rd, Independence Day Special with the Red Elvises along with Emma and the Ledge on July 4th, Bronwyn Keith Hines with the Pickpockets on Sunday, July 5th, Fruition with the Kofas Brothers on Wednesday, July 8th, Houndmouth with Tim Skelly, Thursday and Friday, the 9th and 10th of July, 710 Ashbury on Saturday, the 11th, Neil Francis with Lost Canyons on Sunday, the 12th, and many more. You can find more information, schedules, and tickets at pinecreeklodgemontana.com. They hope to see you soon for some music between the pines.
Do you need help? Information about resources such as emergency food, housing, financial, or other social assistance? Simply dial 211 and get connected with a trained professional for information and referrals to available resources. Montana 211 is a free, confidential service available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to connect people in need with people who can help. Those experiencing emotional stress, are in crisis, suicidal, or worried about someone can also call this number to reach a trained crisis counselor. 211 in southwestern Montana is answered by the Help Center. Go to montana211.org for more information.
and I done done all that I could do. Late September can't come soon enough. Can practically taste them donuts on my tongue, but till then it's we grinding. Flying high and coming down slow wind. Here comes. Made into a rock of stone, and I done done all that I could do. Is that the way it feels alone on the street, surrounded by strangers that could be your friend if you would just let them in?
Let's go.
Okay, in that last half hour today, we started off with the new one from Goose, Good Times, End Times. Of Monsters and Men did Ordinary Creature. They'll be at Pine Creek here in a few weeks. Kurt Vile did Rock of Stone. Josh Ritter did Honeydew, No Light. He was in Bozeman a few months ago, and it was great. We got In Your Ocean from Iron and Wine, and the new one from Grace Potter gave us Run, Baby, Run. So good stuff, and thanks for joining us on Shiny Objects. We'll be back next week with more new music from the 2020s.
This segment of programming is underwritten by the Sacagawea Audubon, making the Gallatin Valley a better place for birds. You can check us out at sacagaweaaudubon.org.